when I talk about the seven, there's planning, operations, staffing, sales, sales coaching, marketing, and finance. All of them have a system. And right. even if you have one page, you have a system. And it taught me about that if it's not in plain English, and if it's not being read, and if it's not in the culture, it isn't worth, even if you bothered to put it down on the page.
The following is brought to you by Thrive, the end-to-end client experience platform that helps you get the job, manage the job, and get credit.
Hey, this is Gordon Henry at Winning on Main Street. And this week you get to meet Al Levi, who has done what you all want to do, which is scale a business so you can eventually hand it off to others, get out of the day-to-day rat race and live your life as you want to. And Al's going to tell you how to do this through what he calls the seven power system. Welcome, Al.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So just tell us how you did it. You know, I've read the story. You scaled your contracting business. You retired at, you said 48. I thought it was 50. How did you do it?
You know, the backstory to this is, and I think it's important for listeners, is what we were sharing before, is we weren't just in contracting. My dad was a serial entrepreneur. And by the time myself and my two older brothers were old enough to walk into a meeting in our teenage years, my dad had us in meetings, business meetings. Now, the rule was, shut up, sit in the back, take some notes. I will answer all your questions after we're done. And he was really great about that and, you know, got us into this understanding about, you know, he always kind of laughed because, again, we were serial entrepreneurs and his basic tenets were everybody likes to tell you that their business is different. Well, as far as my thumb and forefinger are, it's about an inch different. We were in a chain of ice cream stores, liquor stores. We owned a computer software business, radiant heat manufacturer, multi-state real estate, and it takes systems and platforms. Now, I was not born enlightened. I made every mistake that you can make. And I was sharing before we go into that, the only credit that I will give myself is I fell in every hole. And when I got climbing out of the hole and I dusted myself off, I said, that hurt. Let's not do that again. And so I moved forward. But having worked with so many clients over the years, it's so easy to continue to fall in the same holes. And we just don't have time, energy, and money to overcome those things. So what we did, you know, by the time myself and my brothers showed up, we were third generation at the company. My grandfather's gas station back in 1936 is where everything started. And today I'm proud to say that my middle brother is still there with my nephew, now fourth generation. And you're not going to do that easily without systems. We were raised on the idea is hurry up and do something. And it worked. You can't argue with that, but you know, it's exhausting. And frankly, I was so stressed out. I have been told I have still a little piece of my New York accent. So if I give away where I am, I live in Arizona and lived here for the last 20 years, but it was stressing me out. And I came to realize very quickly that I was going to be a rich dead guy, which was not my goal. And so the thing I had to change my habits and what the habit was, is every day we woke up and recreated the wheel. The problem we thought we had handled yesterday, or what I call the fire, was gonna break out tomorrow. So we were always in firefighting mode and never in fire prevention. The other big turning point was one day I walked into my brothers and dad, we sat in a very small office. And again, that's my father's mantra was, we don't make any money with all of you sitting in here, go do something. So I walk in and I told him, you know what? I couldn't sleep last night. And here's why. I woke up today feeling like a hostage at our own business. And I'm betting you guys feel the same way. They all looked at me and of course in a New York kind of way, I go, yeah, what are you gonna do about it? And I said, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. And what I figured is we had been sabotaging really great people with either no systems or broken systems. And I came back to them and I said, here's what I've come up with is, let's just see how far good people can go with systems and let's let great people exceed their demands and customize to be what they can be. And so we switched from a people business to a system business. Now, this is not cold in any way, anything like that, that people not are important. But every day we sabotage them. We did heating work, and I had trained a guy to do the heating work. I met him and recruited him. He was a guy flipping pizzas, and brought him in. We taught him the trade, and he rose up to be one of our best installers. So this is a while ago. I slide the window open, hand the instructions, and I go, look, I can't get there today. At 10 o'clock, I'm going to get there at 2 o'clock. And he looks it over and he goes, I got it. Not to worry. I come there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm walking around looking at this system, and I am muttering every four-letter word that a good New Yorker knows under my breath, fortunately. And I grab him and go out to the truck, and I go, this is nothing like what I wanted. He goes, oh, your brother Richie showed up and said, do it this way. Mm. And what we realized in this miserable moment is we didn't have any systems for doing our work, anything. And so when we talked, this guy that, and I was a New York City Union shop, by the way, when we got to talking, the installer said to me, I thought you laid awake at night trying to figure out how to ruin my day. And I laughed and I said, I thought you laid awake at night trying to figure out how to ruin my day. Uh-huh. And the two of us came to understand that it's easy to ruin each other's day if we don't have the rules of the game to play. And that was the birth of operating manuals. Now, people call them standard operating procedures, but really that was the change to this path. And the end of the story is, came down at the end, we had a union delegates of our crew there. The union rep comes in and I said, you know, this has got to be part of the union contract. And the guy goes, oh no. And the guys on the rep board, the techs go, oh yeah, this is going in because it protects us. Yeah. And also more importantly, it showed them how they could move up our corporate ladder, right, the box org chart. So that really we had always been talking about, you know, we don't provide jobs, we provide careers. Right. But there's a big jump to make that happen in your company. And so that really was a big path forward.
Right. So your whole program is about creating systems. That's the word you use. Some people think systems are like big fancy computer systems, but really a system is just something you write down. That's a way to do things, right?
Yes. And every one of the, when I talk about the seven, there's planning, operations, staffing, sales coaching, marketing, and finance. All of them have a system. And right, even if you have one page,
right,
you have a system. Right. But most of us have zero pages.
Zero, right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's your, what you just described, those seven words you just said, is your seven power process for contractors. So you've just articulated kind of what those are. What's the best way for contractors to take your learnings and apply them?
You know, the best thing when I was doing one-to-one is I was doing planning panel, and I would actually go on site, because being technical at the way that I was, is I had to get under the hood, had to lift the hood up to find out what was going on. And what I used to say is, you know, guys wanted me to consult remotely. And I've been on GoToMeeting for years, and then Zoom was an easy transition for me. Sure. But it's, you know, there's a difference between FaceTime and face-to-face time. Mm-hmm. And I had to go there and see what was really broken. I had to talk and have private meetings with a couple of the key people, which I never shared with the owners unless it was like four people sat in a chair and told me the same thing. Mm. And so it was so important to get the plan right, because most business owners are so busy that the last thing they think about is a plan. Yep. So the analogy that I would use is a little dated because of GPS, but imagine you live in New York and you want to end up in LA and you're taking a car trip. Well, it'd be nice to have a map, right, and even be nice to have GPS. Yeah. And without that plan, you're just at the mercy of wherever the road takes you. And most of us business owners are so focused on getting the craziness of today, we don't pull up and look at a plan. And I'm not a fan of 10-year plans. I really believe in a 3 to 5 year plan. So what I start in planning power is, usually it's 100 to 125 projects and habits. Key thing is it's not just projects, it's good habits, like steps of corrective action, steps of delegation. Those habits dramatically change your company. I don't care what company you do, whatever business you do. And so we get this big, think of a funnel, the top of the funnel is this big list. Well, how does it move down? So it moves down that list with two giant strainers. One is you select the project or habit that will have the biggest impact to solve your problem or challenge. The second strainer is what's going to give you the greatest chance to grow and be profitable. And once you filter this list, you arrive at what I call the top 30. And the top 30 is what you and I, Gordon, agree is next year, when we're having this Zoom, how many of those 30 did you get done? Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is I don't care how big, and I've worked with $100 million companies. I don't care how big you are. Working on 30 things at one time is just going to drive people batty. Mm-hmm. And so you have to funnel it one more time with those same strainers mm-hmm. and arrive at your top five. And your top five typically is the next piece, which is operating power, is having these standard operating procedures for everything, all the boxes on the org chart. And then, so what I call the org chart, just to be clear, is a bingo board. Mm-hmm. And your job is to cover every square with a manual. And again, manuals are different sizes. But believe it or not, the most important manuals are the ones at the bottom, not at the top. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in bottom-up management, not top-down. Yeah. And so this is really when you arrive at the top five, I don't care how crazy, I don't care what business you do. I don't care if you sell hats. I don't care if you sell sporting goods. You picked five things that are going to make the fix the biggest problem or challenge, greatest chance to grow profitable. So tell me what's more important this week and whatever you got to do that you didn't work on these top five. And it's a hard concept, but when I started to realize what was holding me back, the two things I would say common to us as business owners, I was a perfectionist, mm-hmm. which made me good at what I did, but yeah. also made it to the point where I would never release anything. Mm-hmm. So I had to adopt this phrase where I would say to myself at the end of the day, good enough for today, I'll make it better down the road. Mm-hmm. And that was able to get it out on the, get the car on the road. And the analogy I use for perfection when I'm trying to explain it to clients is, my car is out on the road winning the race, and yours is still in the garage and will always be if you're waiting for perfect.
Yeah.
And so that's really one of the big things. And the second big thing I would say is I so much wanted to win every battle that you face at work that I was losing the war. Yeah. And so I had to learn that periodically I do have to lose a battle and be focused on winning the war. And so that is, okay, so I could go run a lot of calls and make it right and do better than all my other staff. I could go out on sales calls and do better than everybody else. But was that going to dramatically change my company? The answer is no.
Right.
Systematizing my business would.
On your website, you have a success gallery of clients who've implemented your program and made it work. And can you give us maybe one success story that stands out to you as somebody who implemented your system and it really made a difference?
I'd like to start with am I big enough? And the answer is, if your door is open, you're big enough. Mm-hmm. And so the smallest one that I actually worked in Northern California, it was the owner who was already 60, which is pretty late. And we sat at his dining room table working on the business. His wife, who was the bookkeeper, was in the next room with the grandchildren. Out in the garage was his customer service rep dispatcher. And in one truck was his tech. Mm. That was his son, by the way. And we grew that business to where they were in two separate locations and 12 techs to the point where he just sold his business successfully because it was systematic. So that's a small one. The other customers that I've worked with over the years are phenomenal marketers who are great at growing their company. But the problem is every time the phone rings, it's gasoline to a fire and they don't know how to handle it. So I have to come in and put the foundation underneath it and correct it. So there's a great company I work with, does garage in like 17 different states in the country. And
is that Tommy Mello?
It's Tommy Mello.
I saw Tommy Mello on your website. Tommy was on our show a couple weeks ago. So
yeah, he is phenomenal. I mean, just a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And it was difficult because, you know, making Tommy sit still was not an easy thing. He's just a powerhouse of energy.
Yeah.
And the good news is even at this stage, I'm pretty passionate. So the two of us, we got a system in place where he could replicate his business, not just here in Phoenix, but anywhere that he went. And he's just killing it in a great way. That's the power of systematizing your business.
Yeah. What I love about your approach is that it's simple. It's not rocket science. You know, was there anything unique about your business that made it different? Or do you think your system can really apply to all businesses?
I think they are, you know, not, I can just pluck it off the shelf and stick it in. But if you have to answer the phone, if you have to dispatch people, if you have to do things. So the one that I think is pretty funny is, I didn't mention this, one of the clients I got just north of San Francisco, it was a photography person. Hmm. And they had found me through, you know, the internet. Yeah. And they called me up and go, I read all your stuff. You have to come help me. And I go, I take pictures, but I don't know about photography. And she goes, look. The people who answer the phone for you, that's the people who organize and stuff. The people who decide where all these photographers go is the dispatcher. The photographer is nothing more than a glorified technician. And mm-hmm. she was absolutely right.
In just a minute, we're going to get back to talking about your seven powers. The key one, it seems, is this operating power. You keep coming back to operating power, operating manuals. We're going to take a quick break here. A word from our sponsor. Be right back with more from Al Levi.
This episode of Winning on Main Street is brought to you by Thrive, the end-to-end client experience platform that includes everything small business owners need to meet their customers' expectations. Thrive's award-winning and fully mobile interface delivers technology previously reserved for big business to the fingertips of small business owners nationwide. Thrive's built specifically for small business, but there's nothing small about what it can do. Thrive handles your entire customer experience, helping business owners reach more customers, stay organized, get paid faster, and generate online reviews, all from a single device or screen. To learn more about Thrive, visit winningonmainstreet.com and click on Get a Demo. When it comes to software to run your business, there's no comparison. Check out Thrive today.
And we're back with Al Levi, and we're talking about his seven powers. And we were just saying right before the break, operating power, and particularly operating manuals, is something you focus on. It sounds so basic. I need an operating manual, tell people what to do. And yet, I guess what you found is that most companies just don't even write down what they expect their employees to do.
Exactly. I didn't for years. And really, to tell you the seminal story here, like, you know, there's so many points like I was talking about before in that story, but I was lucky enough to have one of the industry giants in the heating thing in my truck and also be one of my best friends. And we had gone to go do a call and I get in the truck. Okay, I'm dating myself, but if you're looking at the video, that should be obvious. So my big telephone is ringing and they're looking for me. The two-way radio is asking for me and the pager on my belt is going off. And my friend looks over to me, and he was always great at holding up the truth mirror to me, whether I liked it or not. And he said, you think that's normal, don't you? And in the moment, I thought to myself, yeah, it is normal, and I hate it. And 1 second later, I said, look at me. Look how important I am. This place would fall apart without me. And so I had to recognize who I was. And so I came up with the three identities. I was addicted to being a rescuer, I was addicted to being a guru, and I was addicted to being a fireman. And until I was willing to give it up, I wouldn't put the words on the page or on a digital device, which is how we do it today. And so finally I did. Now I had manuals, I had an employee manual. I went to court, told you I was a New York City shop, really proud of it, it was big. And I walk into court thinking I've got a strong case here, and the judge looks at it, looks at me, and he goes, do you run meetings on this? And I go, no. He goes, do you think this is written in plain English that anybody would understand it? And I go, I guess. He goes, case dismissed. And I was crushed. But the good news is I was 25. And it taught me about that if it's not in plain English, and if it's not being read, and if it's not in the culture, it isn't worth, even if you bothered to put it down on the page. So I spent a year sitting in each of the boxes, just putting the outline together, hear this correctly, an outline for every box. And when I still couldn't do it, and I was, again, the same guy who was with me with the truth mirror happened to be a great writer. And he goes, look, I know you want to do these manuals, but I also know you. You want to go in your office, write it down, and come out like it's the Ten Commandments and thou shalt obey. And he goes, it's not going to work. So I said, well, you're so smart. What do you think I should do? He goes, you should hire me and let me run these meetings and we'll get it right. And of course, he was 100% right. And basically, it cost me about $150,000 in 1990s money of today. And we paid it off in 2 years by decreasing the things, fire that we talked about, not having to go back. Insurance claims were less. And then when they happened, they were way less. We were able to put new guys on the road that generated new revenue. And every call we ran was for more money. And so that's a pretty extreme example of power of manuals. And the lack thereof is really the issue. And I, again, if you, so the other part of this story is I was still running calls. And I'm so glad there's no video of this. So you're just going to have to imagine it. I would run a call. I would get in my truck and I would look at the passenger seat, which was empty. And I said, okay, this is what I did on this job. And then I would write down notes. And so, yeah, it can be done in a million ways. It is a whole lot easier to be an editor, I will say that, than to be a creator.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever you have to do, operating manuals is very key. Don't think you have to, again, you can always make it better. Let go of the 100%, just go after the 80%.
Right. And your book, your website, your programs are all designed to help people get started with that. As you said, easier to edit than create, and you provide them the outline, the basics of what your operating manual, other manuals should be, and then people can refine and improve, right?
Yeah, you know, actually what I did is, because I don't do the one-to-ones anymore, is I shot 23 video lessons based on what I used to do. And it's, you know, they're each like 5 to 10 minutes of me being your virtual coach, because again, it's way more than words on a page or digital device. And what I mean by that is, your tone is so important. So you can fill it up with capital letters and font 28 and, you know, in red and anything you want to do. And people will quickly know you're yelling at me. So the tone that we tried to take is, I'm your big brother or big sister trying to coach you, whatever position you're in. And that it's not everything you need to know. And none of the procedures are longer than a page, or they shouldn't be. It's not like I never did the job. Here's the digital content, go get them. So there's a more to know, what you put in, what you leave out, how to get buy-in from the beginning is very, very critical. They get to put their fingerprints on it, they being the people that work for you, they don't get to hijack it. And so that's, again, another process that you have to learn.
One of the big things you focus on is employees, how you deal with employees, particularly employee feedback, which I thought is interesting because most bosses are really bad at you know, speaking to employees and getting employee feedback. But one of the things we're hearing today, right now, is that it's really hard to get workers. So many companies are struggling in this hot economy we suddenly have to get workers. Do you have any comments or thoughts for people about, you know, it's, this is all great, but I don't have enough people to do what I need them to do?
Yeah, and I will share that, again, another benefit of being around for a while is this too is not new. In 2000, you know, in the 2000, when the dot-com era was going on back in New York, people stopped asking me how much when I would go to do a sales call, and they would ask how soon. Sound familiar? Yeah. And my guys were being pirated at night. They were getting headhunter calls, and my guys didn't leave me. And the reason was, is they knew their career path. And the reason is because I was always showing them the org chart. I was showing them where they were. I was taking ownership of their, they started with me, and here's the big difference. I had willing people with no skills, and I provided those skills all along the way. Most of us are just like, I gotta get this done. So they were looking for skilled people that they hope are willing. And I was one of you. And so I understand. And I will tell you the story that how this kind of came to an end. We had 25 techs, of which Richie and I would go run calls, especially in the emergency time. And he and I would be in the office, last tech standing at 2 a.m. One day in this 2 a.m. conversation, he goes, Gordon? Gordon was the best guy that we overpaid from that other shop? I mean, he's awful. He wouldn't even be good here because he had oversold himself in an interview. Tell me that you don't hear that.
Right.
And so I said, you know what? I'm really sick of it. I'm going to do this thing. And really the key was to build the manuals and then the hands-on training center so where we could make them replicate their work before they got out into the field. So we always had a stream of talent coming. That doesn't mean we didn't hire experienced people. With manuals, the manuals really go for three things. Find the holes in your existing staff, and they all have holes because they oversold themselves when they came on board. And they're deathly afraid that you're going to find out. You have to make it safe. We, as wise guy, New Yorker kind of people, myself, my brother, my serviceman, we all had to learn to change the way we spoke. And here's what we would say. Whatever you don't know is now my responsibility. I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to have you do it in front of me. And then it's your responsibility once you prove you can do it, because then it'll be a compliance issue. And so that really changed the scale because it made it safe. Second one is finding out faster what quote unquote experienced people. I'm talking about even your accounting, bookkeeping people. Have you ever done QuickBooks? The only answer you'll ever get in an interview is, oh yeah, did a ton. Mm-hmm. Now they may not be lying, but they don't know how to do it your way. And so having really great processes for recruiting and hiring and orienting is really the backbone to staffing power, which is where it's led out from operating power. Recruiting, hiring, orienting, training, retaining, five pieces to staffing power done right. So as to I need them right now, I hear you. Do what you have to do. But reality is, and this is a great friend who's a co-consultant with me all the time, she uses the great line, which is, when's the best time to plant an oak tree? And I said, I don't know. She goes, 10 years ago and today. Because if you don't start today, you're going to be back here again in this same mix. And it doesn't take as long as you think.
Right.
So yeah, you have to be recruiting in all of these areas. And the other thing that Tommy and I, and Tommy was a great example of this, he totally got this. He is a phenomenal marketer. So just to get that out there, I said, you have to be as great a marketer at marketing as you are recruiting. Because what is recruiting? Recruiting is just great marketing aimed at that audience. So you got to put money into the gas tank, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. You have to have, where are those people? They're out there. Now they're not in newspapers. They're in social media. They go to Glassdoor. They need your YouTube videos. They need your staff telling them, hey, this is a great place to work. Because what I learned so many years ago was, it's interesting what I have to say about how great I am, but really what you want to know is somebody that looks like you.
Before we go, I want to mention, you know, our company Thrive makes a software for small businesses that's really a CRM, and it's a way for small businesses to capture all their customer information in a database and to systematize the way they communicate with their customers from the first appointment all the way through the estimates, the invoices, payments, and even the referrals. And you didn't touch much on technology, but it seems to me more and more small businesses need to look at technology as part of the way they scale. Don't you agree?
Oh, that, absolutely. Like I said, we talk about words on page, but it's all digital devices today. Nobody's looking at any paper anymore. And also the ability to use good CRM, because customer experience is so much better. Yeah. There's nothing like calling up and going, you know, you were here three times and you look and go, really? Because we don't see anything.
Right.
It's all about technology. Matter of fact, on the org chart, there are internal people now. Mm. It used to be just external, but there are people on board that have to know a lot about IT, because you just can't function.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're about out of time, but it's been fantastic having you. I want to mention the name of the book is The 7 Power Contractor. Run your contracting business with less stress and more success. The website is 7powercontractor.com. Thanks for coming in today, Al.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and tell a friend or colleague to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. Until next time, make it a great week.